Thanks, ladies. Look at Galatians chapter 5 real quick. Galatians chapter 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sounds good back there, Doug and Doug. Galatians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A few of our people still out traveling. Again, I hope you come tonight at 6 o'clock. Let me take you into something that I've been working on for a while, and maybe something that will provoke you to some even new thoughts. You know, sometimes even if you've been a Christian 30 or 40 years, you can find something in the Bible and go, whoa, never saw that in there, read that there before, but I need to work on that a little bit myself. So hope you come back tonight. Galatians chapter 5, if you would, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice two scriptures. Let's combine something. Galatians chapter 5, and notice, if you would, verse 25. Verse 25. Talk to me now a little bit. Verse 25 says this, if, that's a condition, if we do or if we don't, if we live in the who? Spirit. He is a who, is that right? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the who? Spirit. So if we live in the Spirit, by the way, I want to live in the Spirit, don't you? And I want to walk in the Spirit. There's an attitude that we have if we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and notice what he says in verse 7. Verse 7. For we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Would you agree with this statement? If we live in the Spirit, it says, let us walk, also walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will walk by faith. Would you agree with that? Let me say it again. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll walk by faith. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not always just walk by sight. We'll do things by faith, not knowing quite the outcome of them. And we won't wait to just see it. We'll do it believing that God is out in front of us doing something, going to do something, going to perform something, and we'll do it trusting Him more than we trust ourselves. Would you agree with that statement? I'll go again, just a moment. December, something profound, is the last month of the calendar year. Thank you. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do next year? What's your plan? What are you planning on doing for the Lord? Say, man, I'm not even through December yet. But aren't you? Don't you have some dream or vision for next year yet? Don't you have a plan for 2003 of something maybe you'd like to accomplish or you'd like to do or you'd like to see happen? Because one of the things about walking in the Spirit, He gives us vision. He gives us a look into the future of maybe something that's in our heart that He wants us to accomplish, if you would. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is a walk by faith. And when we walk by faith, we walk into things and do things and plan on things that we've not yet seen take place in our lives. I'm already planning the calendar for our church for this year, 2003 upcoming, and 2004. The idea is, it takes a little vision to look out there in the future and say, what is it, Holy Spirit, that You would like to see us do? Now, not everything may come to pass, but the idea is walking by faith means there's something out in front of us that we want to try to accomplish, look up here, but it's beyond maybe our ability to accomplish it, and we've got to have God do it in such a way that we walk with Him, and He does the work, and we follow along, and He gets the glory. Now, walking in the Spirit requires us to walk by faith into something that's not by sight. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. And watch this illustration, if you would. Stay right with me. Numbers chapter 12. And we're going to learn something this morning from the Old Testament. By the way, there's a lot you can learn from the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 12. And then we're going to go into Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 12 and Numbers chapter 13. Now, we know that this, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, by faith, the Bible says they went across, if you would, the Red Sea. And when they went into the sea and come up out of the sea, if you remember, the Bible says there was a pillar. A pillar means a cloud that went up into the air, and it went, if you would, behind the children of Israel and became darkness to the Egyptians, but it shed light on the way the Israelites were going. Do you remember that? Now, that pillar of cloud is what they're going to follow. And that pillar of cloud is going to guide them and direct them and where they're supposed to go and what they're supposed to be doing.
Bible says he's also in that pillar. It's called the angel of the Lord. It's, I didn't see that. It's in the book of Exodus. He says the angel of the Lord went behind them and became darkness to the Egyptians and became light to the Israelites. It wasn't just a pillar. Evidently, there was something angelic in there. Evidently, there was something heavenly in there. And evidently, that pillar of cloud was definitely alive. By the way, that pillar is somewhat typed in the New Testament to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is that which leads us now. Would you agree with that statement? In the Old Testament, in the wilderness, they had the pillar of cloud, and it led them around where they should go, what they should do. In the New Testament, we have, if you would, the Holy Spirit of God. By the time they get to Numbers chapter 12, they're having some problems within with Miriam and Aaron, and they're supposed to, if you would, be obeying what God was doing through Moses. And they begin, if you would, sometime you can read there, where in Numbers chapter 12, they have a little division that goes on from within. And by Numbers chapter 13, God says, it's time now to send out the spies in the land. And you're supposed to send these 12 spies out, Moses, and they're going to come back and tell you about the promised land. Look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And said to them, get you up this very southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is. What they're supposed to do is these 12 spies are supposed to go up and see what's going on in that promised land. They're supposed to see what's in the land and what the fruit of the land is and who's dwelling there and where there's strongholds and what kind of people they are. And then they're supposed to come down, these 12 rulers, these 12 spies, and report to the children of Israel. Look at verse 25. And they returned, Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. You know what they showed them? It was just like God said it was going to be. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey, according to verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And man, I tell you, they had those cluster of grapes there, and they looked at it, and you might mark a little note there in verse 27. It's still, if you would, they came back, and they're going by faith, but look at verse 28, and would you see the first word in verse 28? The word is what? Say it. Nevertheless. 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 You know what's going to happen right here? They're going to move into the area of sight. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, they saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. I mean, they're still describing the land. But that word, nevertheless, they're going to start bringing up a bad report. In verse 30, you might mark it down, Caleb still wants to go by faith and says, hey, Caleb, still the people before Moses and says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He's still operating by faith. He still wants to go forward. But verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able. Now they're in sight. Now they're walking by sight. Now they're not going to follow, if you would, the leadership of the Lord. Now they're going to look at what they're able to do and what they're capable of doing. We be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. And they start talking about the inhabitants of the land and how large they are and how much they're giants. And look at verse 33. And there we saw the giants of the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Don't stop there. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. You know what they're doing right now? They're turning around. Right now, they're turning back. Right now, they were out there following, if you would, that pillar. And right now, in their hearts, they're going back to sight, and they're going to start turning back, if you would, verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? You know what they said? The Lord brought us out here to kill us. Why did he bring us out here? that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Right now, they're moving away from God's will for them to walk by faith, to go into areas that they are not able, but God is able, and they're turning around in their hearts, and they're going back by sight, and they're provoking God. Would you agree with that statement? Let me say it again. They're provoking the Lord. Let me say it one more time, because you're going to see that word again. They're provoking the Lord. They're supposed to walk by faith. They're supposed to follow the pillar. They're supposed to trust in God. But right now in their heart, they're beginning to turn back around, and it changes their attitude because of the report that came back from these leaders, if you would, and the congregation is now murmuring and turning back, if you would, from doing what God wants them to do. Brethren, do you know if they would have still just went on? If they just would have said, well, let's just go on up. If they were just said, let's just keep following. Let's do what Caleb says. Let's do what Joshua says. Let's go on up. Let's just follow up. You know what would have happened probably? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter number 2. Turn there if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Look what God said He was going to do when they started coming up out of the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Look if you would at verse 25. Verse 25. This was what He's going to do later. This day, He said in Deuteronomy 2:25, will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Brethren, do you know what? Those giants were going to be scared. Those giants with all those strongholds and those fenced cities, God was going to put the fear into them about Israel, if you would. He says, I'll begin to put the fear, the dread. I'll begin to tell those nations and show those nations, and they'll hear the report of thee, and they'll tremble. If they would have just kept on going, God would have done something that they didn't know He could do. God would have put them in such fear that they would have melted away when those children of Israel came, if you would, into their land. Yeah, they go over, they look around for 40 days, they see the fruit, they see the flowing, they see the milk, they see the honey, they see everything. They bring back the grapes of Israel, but they come back and say, but there's giants out there. Man, oh man, there's got fenced cities and wall cities and strong cities. But by faith, they did not know that those walls could come down. Oh, by the way, they did. Look real quick over in Joshua, real quick. Look at Joshua. Stay right with me. If they just would have kept going, Joshua chapter 2, if you would. Joshua chapter 2. You remember a woman called Rahab? And do you remember the spies went in and talked to Rahab real quick? And she gave them a little insight on what everybody was thinking over there in the promised land? Look at Joshua chapter 2, if you would. Look at verse number 9. And she said unto the men, these spies that come in, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. You know what? He said back in Deuteronomy, He said, hey, you know what? I'll send the fear on them. I'll make them tremble. I'll let them hear the report of what I've done, and they're going to fear you. Verse 11 of Joshua chapter 2, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. May I say something to you? Doesn't matter how big the person is, if there's no courage inside of them, if there's no strength inside of them, if there's nothing inside of them moving them forward, they're going to cower down and melt. Would you agree with that? And what God had done was, by this time, He had sent the report ahead of them, and they were trembling, if you would. Look at Joshua chapter 5. Stay right with me. Joshua chapter 5. And in Joshua chapter 5, notice what happens when they finally do come in. In Joshua chapter 5, look at verse 1. The Bible says this in Joshua 5, when it came to pass, when all the kings of the Ammonites, which were on the side of Jordan east, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their hearts melted, neither was their spirit in them any more. Brother, these were these same big fenced walled, cityed giants. And he said their spirit wasn't in them anymore. Their hearts melted. They had no desire to fight. They were afraid. They were trembling. And by the time they got over to Jericho, the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 1, it was straightly shut up. Nobody was coming out. Nobody was going in. They were so terrified. Look up here just for a moment. You know those peoples back in Numbers chapter 13 could have been the ones that went in? I understand God foreknew what they were going to do. But by theory, don't you think that if they just would have went on? If they just would have marched on through, went out of Egypt, crossed, if you would, the Red Sea, went on through, did just what the pillar of cloud said to do and followed that, don't you think that pillar of cloud would have took them right over to Sihon, took them right to Og, and took them right, if you would, to the River Jordan, and they would have crossed and they would have found out God's fear by faith was trembling the people there, and they could have just attacked it and took it down? But something happened. They didn't go over. They missed out. I'll say it again. They missed out. Well, why? They stopped following the pillar. They come back with the evil report. They said, we can't go up by sight. There's no way we can take these. Hey, brother, how did they get to the Red Sea? How did they destroy the Egyptians' armies? The answer is, God opened up the sea and God destroyed the Egyptian army. And the point of it is, God could have done that too. Now, we talk about that all the time, but let me ask you a question. What are you planning on doing next year? No, what are you planning on doing? What are you planning on with your family doing? Got any plans? Got any vision? Got anything you think might God might want you to do? Got anything that you're looking at right now, but and by faith you say, I think we could do it, but man, there's giants out there, and by sight you're going, I don't know if we're able? Because the situations don't change. Same things that we face now, they face with this idea in mind. You can either look at it by sight and go, oh, it's too big. And by the way, it is too big. Too big for you. But it's not too big for God. Come on now. See, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll walk by what? Say it. Faith. And faith allows us to believe that God is able, if necessary, to even remove mountains. Oh, you say that's just a figure of speech. Depends on what the mountain is. He can move it. I still think He can. I still think He likes to move mountains. I still think He likes to do the big things. I still think He likes to do the big things where we sit back and go, wow. I know I'm walking, and I know I've been praying, and I know I've been thinking, but honestly, I didn't think He could do that. Did you ever have one of those? Oh, you know, I don't have any of those. My faith, we just walk on through. Come on, be honest. Did you ever have one of those where you're saying, well, Lord, I think, you know, if You could, you know, work this out and all this and everything, man, I'd like to walk on and do that, and He works out in a bigger way than you ever thought possible? Because walking by faith requires us to believe that God is still able. And brethren, may I say something to you? Let's be careful that we don't turn into this grasshopper syndrome, but that we get to our place where we look at ourselves and look at the situation and say, it's too big for me, I can't do it, and we get that stinking attitude of walking by sight, and we provoke God like they provoke God and miss out. Now let me show you the Scriptures. We all still all right? You say, man, this should be a Sunday night. It's a Sunday morning message. Look at Deuteronomy again. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now watch. And would you also pick up Hebrews chapter 3? We still all right? Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 3. Watch this now. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I start getting excited about this. You say, it's December. We're not a year in yet. Brother, we got to by faith already get ready for next year. We got to by faith decide we're going to conquer something or do something or build something or tear something down or do something. We got to decide, hey, when's the last time you won somebody to Christ? I mean, when's the last time you even tried? Don't you believe God can still save souls? Don't you believe God still wants us to witness? Hey, and you know what's going to happen? You'll be witnessing sometime to somebody, and somebody will say, hey, I'd like to get saved. And you go, you would? Well, come to church then. No, wait a minute. Right there. Doesn't matter where you're at. They could pray and get saved right there. Now, we want them to come to church. But you don't have to wait till they come into this building. They get saved in the home. They get saved on the street corner. They get saved in their car. They get saved in their closet. I got saved in a military barracks. I'm sure glad somebody didn't just wait and say, you got to go down there and do that church. The Holy Spirit says, we can do this right now. He still does save people. Would you agree with that? But somebody's got to go out and tell them. Now you're getting quiet on me. You see, by faith, we still have to believe that He's able. And by the way, you talk about joy. There's a lot of joy when you get a chance to witness to somebody. There's a lot of joys, and they say, well, what about this? What about that? Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, you know, what must I do? Oh, I'm glad you asked. That's exciting. Hey, come back tonight. We're going to give you a good report of what happened on Thanksgiving out in the desert at a church that had a big event for some Marines. We're going to give you a good report tonight. Don't you like to get a good report? You prayed. Some of you were here Thursday. Some of you were here last Sunday. We mentioned it, and you prayed. We're going to give you a good report tonight. Because God still is doing miraculous things. Look what happened. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I would like to give you a report that they went on. And they just went right on through that evil report. But you know what they did. They turned back. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. And notice, if you would, verse 25. Verse 25. They took of the fruit of the land in their hands. These were the spies. And brought it down unto us. And brought us word again and said, it is a good land, which the Lord our God doth give us. I'm glad they brought a good report back to the land, that it's a good land, it's everything that they said. Verse 26, notwithstanding. You remember that word, nevertheless? Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your hearts and said, because the Lord hated us. The Lord didn't hate them. That was that grasshopper inferiority complex. He hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us from the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? How can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. What a sad statement. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people is greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to the heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you. You know what he's saying? Walk by faith, walk by faith, walk by faith, walk by faith, walk by faith. Don't walk by sight and see how big they are and see how great walled cities they have. Don't walk by sight, walk by faith. How did we get here? We walk by faith. Verse 32. Yet in this thing ye did not, say it, believe. Say that word again. Believe the Lord your God. You didn't believe Him. Who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by what way ye should go and in the cloud by day. You know what he said? You didn't believe the Lord and you stopped following the fire at night and you stopped following the cloud by day. You might want to make another little note by verse 33 there. That fire by night, that cloud by day, was called the angel of the Lord in Exodus chapter 14. And right now, brethren, we have the Holy Spirit leading us. Would you agree with that? And I don't know about you, but every once in a while, the Holy Spirit gets pretty fiery inside of me. I don't know about you. You say, oh, that's a feeling. I don't know, but every once in a while, I get real excited. By faith, I start believing. By faith, I start envisioning. By faith, I start seeing. The eyes of my understanding thinking, something's happening. Something big's coming around the corner. I don't know what it is, but something big's happening. Well, don't you know what it is? No, I don't know what it is, but I've just seen the pattern before, and I can see when something's about to happen. You can tell by faith there's something shaking, and God's moving in some way. Right now, we got a bid in on a camp. I don't know if we're going to get it, but by faith, we put a bid in. December 12th, we'll find out where we get it. How many acres? 30 acres? 40 acres? 32 acres. You say, man, what are you doing that? Well, we just did it by faith. Was it yours? Is it the church? Does we own it? Nope. Do you think we're going to get it? I don't know. But at least we're trying. At least we're not limiting
the Holy One of Israel. Now, we may have limited him in some other areas. I hope we have it. But at least we didn't limit him when this thing come up. We're trying. We put a bid in. We'll see if it happens. What are you going to do next year? What's the plan? Got any plans yet? Have you even went before the Lord and said, Lord, what is it you might have me to do next year? What should I plan on? Please look up here. You know you can get in a rut. What are you doing next year?
Same thing I'm doing this year. The same thing I'm doing this year. Just going back and forth. Just kind of, you know, waiting. I'm just going back and forth. Don't miss. How many times are you going to do this? Until you see yourself doing this? Just not trying anything new. Just not trying. Just you know.
How boring. How boring. Brother, may I say, when you get in a rut, you start seeing things wrong with all kinds of people. When you get into a rut and you're just going back and forth, you start seeing things wrong with Christianity. You start seeing things wrong with the church. You start seeing things wrong with leadership. You start seeing things wrong with anything that depicts faith. Would you agree with that? Come on. Brother, if you're out there operating by faith and somebody's come along and said, you know what, let's kick out this wall right here and let's go on through and let's see if God does something, you're saying, let's go, let's give it a try. You know why some people don't want to? They're afraid of failing and looking bad. Oh, what are we going to do if we have to stand up before the church and say, oh, we didn't get the camp. Somebody came in and outbid us. We're going to stand up in front of the church and say, oh, we didn't get the camp. Somebody outbid us, but at least we tried. And we learned something. And we'll watch for whatever might come up next. At least we tried to do something. At least we didn't go with unbelief. At least by faith we give it a shot. At least by faith we were willing. Well, where was this money coming from? Well, that was a good question. We were hoping and believing God would. Because when you walk in the Spirit, you walk by faith, you don't walk by sight, and you give it a try. Oh, I can't wait to hear the testimony tonight. Because you know what we're going to hear about? A church that gave it a try. A church that's never done quite that before. And what happened? And it's very exciting what God does. When churches try. When people try. When people give God the opportunity to show Himself mighty on their behalf. You know why this Numbers chapter 13 crowd didn't go forward? They didn't believe God. They were discouraged because of some humans that came back and said, they're big, they're tall, they're walled, they're fenced, and we're just grasshoppers. But by the time, if they would have went forward, by the time they would have got over there to Jericho, they would have found out they were all trembling because God's fear would have came upon them. So you know what happened? They all stopped. Because of unbelief. Now, New Testament Scripture. Everybody ready? Look at Hebrews chapter 3 real quick. We all still ready? You still okay? Hebrews chapter 3. By the way, can you understand this, church? We are going to continue to go forward. Come on. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Watch what happens. Everybody still okay? I'm feeling like I'm not connecting here. I can start over. I really am. I'm feeling like maybe it's just all this fa-la-la stuff. I'm just feeling like maybe I'm not connected. Watch Hebrews chapter 3. Stay with me now. Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse 15. Watch now. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Whoa. Harden not your hearts as in the what? Provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Wait a minute, now that's talking about us. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the words preached did not profit them, not being mixed with, say it, faith in them that heard it. Isn't that an interesting scripture? You mean faith was required?
Isn't that an interesting scripture? Because it is talking about those that fell short and provoked God in the wilderness. And it is talking about a church in the wilderness. Is that right? And what we're seeing here is a church that wouldn't go forward because what was up in front of them was too big. And they start looking by sight and they said, we can't do it. And somebody discouraged somebody who discouraged somebody who discouraged somebody who discouraged somebody who discouraged somebody, and the whole attitude changed. And the whole attitude was, we're not going up. We're not going to do it. We're not going to follow. And God looked at that thing and God said, all right. You want to provoke me? You don't want to believe? You want to tempt me? You want to try me? You want to limit me in your life? Let me ask you a question. Was God able? Was God able with them? He could have taken them on, but they were unwilling to go. Why? Bad attitude. Come on, yes or no? Bad attitude. We're not going up. He brought us out here to kill us. Let me ask you again. Was he able? Was he able to do it with them? The only limit was them. God was able. God was powerful. God could have taken them in. God foreknew what they would do, yes, but God could have taken them in. He could have put the fear on those nations right then, but they just wouldn't go. This isn't right, and that's not right, and there's giants out there, and we have this, and that, and by sight, it ruined their attitude. Hey, brother, look around you. You come in here and you see all this. You know what this all is? It's by faith. You look at it and think, oh, it's a big deal. You don't know what went into getting here. Some of y'all look at this and go, well, that's nice. You know, I don't know if I'd do it this way, and I don't know if I like this and all that. Would you get rid of that stinking attitude? Really? Would you look at all that was put into getting to this place? And I'm not trying to be unkind to anybody. But can't you see maybe that by faith God is doing something and He really does want somebody to get saved? And we're in a cultural holiday and you realize this people will be filled with many, many, many hundreds of visitors and they'll hear the gospel and somebody will get saved. But somebody has a critical attitude. Well, I don't like this and I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I'd do it that way. Well, which way would you do it? The answer is people who say, well, I wouldn't do it this way and I wouldn't do it that way. They don't do anything. They just find fault with anything anybody else is trying. We all right still? Say, man, this is Sunday morning, but have a good attitude. We don't have any visitors today. Most of you are regulars. Are you listening to me? We ought to have a good attitude by faith what God's doing. I mean, do you realize how much was put into us even getting into this place like this? Do you realize we used to be in a little tiny building? With a little tiny stage. But you know what we did in that little tiny building with a little tiny stage? I think I remember that truck right there. Is that what Chris Stugger stood in that? Are you in here, Chris? Brother Chris in here or not? He's teaching on the bus. I remember Chris Stugger sitting in a little cardboard. Vehicle on a little tiny stage. And you know what we did? We did a little this, we did a little singing, and we did a little preaching, and people got saved. Because preaching is still where it's at. Preaching. There's a message in the drama, there's a message in the music, but preaching. By the foolishness of preaching. Is that right? People trickled in, they got saved. Then God gave us a little bit bigger building. Then God gave us this place, and we're using it. And somebody walks in and goes, well, I don't know if I like this, or I don't know if I like that. And I didn't like this, and I didn't like that, and I didn't like quite this place. You know what? We're doing the best we can. Maybe God sees your attitude. Don't you have the Holy Spirit? And doesn't he bear witness to our attempts to try to be the best we can to try to keep people out of hell? We all right still? I liked it. You know what we did Thanksgiving morning? I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Oh, I was so happy when I heard a report come back. That was wonderful. That's what I want to tell you about tonight. You say, why don't you tell us now? Because I want you to come back tonight. Well, why do I want to come back tonight? Because maybe when you walk in tonight, your attitude will change and go, okay, it wasn't so bad, I guess. I just had to see it again. I kind of like it. And by the way, you're looking at somebody that's not... I wasn't one of those fa-la-la-ers. You know, like deck the halls and Christmas carolers and all that stuff. But when I can see a purpose and a reason, and I can see God being glorified, and I can see it used of the Lord, by faith we can do this thing. We still okay? Honestly, the Christian camp, I hope we get it. What are you going to do with it? I don't know, but I hope we get it. Well, we say, what are you going to do? We're going to find somebody that knows what's something to do with it. Oh, I got some thoughts. But we need some people that really know what to do with it. And we use it. That's exciting to me. Here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to turn back. By unbelief, we don't want to stop walking by faith. We don't want to turn back and provoke the Holy One of Israel and limit Him. We don't want to come short of what He has planned for us. Because that's what it says in chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you seem to come short of it. And brother, I think the rest is something we do down here on this earth. And we fall, if you would, going forward by faith, by faith, by faith. And sooner or later, walls start to come down and Jericho starts falling and cities start falling. He said, hey, down here on this earth, don't come short of what God wants you to do. Don't get this idea that rest there is only talking about millennium in heaven. No, it's talking about the abundant Christian life. It's talking about, if you would, coming through the wilderness phase of our Christianity to get to the promised land phase where we really start seeing some wonderful things happening for God because our faith is built. And if you would, been tried and tested in the wilderness, and now things are falling down in front of us and God's working and we're seeing some revival. That's how they see revival in the past. They had to do just like that. They all came out of Egypt. They came through the wilderness. The church matured. They went on. They went through their trials. They went through their testing. They crossed through the Red River, the River Jordan, and come up on the other side, and they started conquering in a bigger way. I understand typology and the millennium rest and all that, but brethren, there is an abundant Christian life that can be had. But there's some testing before you get to it. Would you agree with that statement? And by faith, you've got to enter in. In fact, we're entering in. We entered into another phase of this thing for our church today. We turned it on this morning. You know what we launched this morning? Did we turn it on? It's on. The internet radio. We launched it this morning. We flipped the switch on at, 9 this morning? And we're on the internet radio now. I haven't been on the internet in 2.5-3 years. I'm not planning on getting on the internet. That's just because I don't like computers. I used to have a computer in my office. I played solitaire on it. And one of those little games on there. But I wasn't using it a whole lot. So somebody come along and needed a computer. I said, take the one out of my office. They can have it. So I don't get on the internet that much. Not against those who do, if there's a good purpose. But I think this internet radio thing is a good purpose. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Why? Because this internet radio, you know what we put on it? Preaching. Good music and teaching and more preaching. And you know who can tap in? I guess if you have a computer in your home, you can tap in. I guess if you have a computer at your work and you decide that you don't want to work, or you can work with the radio on. You can turn that on.
I can just see you working there going, amen, that's right, amen, that's right. Somebody in the other cubicle going, what's going on down there? But you know what I'm excited about? Military personnel on those ships. They got internet out there, don't they? They can get a good radio going on, good Christian preaching and teaching. I'm really excited about overseas missionaries. Been able to dial that thing up and get some good preaching and teaching and music. Get some. It's kind of homey. I like that. I got Brother Durham setting up here. He set it all up. Some of y'all don't know Brother Durham yet. You know how he came here? By faith. By faith. And one of the things God wanted him to do, there's many more, but one of the things God wanted him to do was to get this internet radio thing rolling. And by faith, we turned it on this morning. I'm excited about this. There were guys and gals working behind the scenes on this thing. There were guys last night recording. There was all kinds of stuff going on. And I don't know if that excites you, but that really excites me. Because some missionary is going to get encouraged. And somebody on a ship somewhere is going to punch that thing on and get help. And some dad whose children are back in the States while he's on ship. And by the way, I was in the military. It happens that dads out there backslide. They're going to be out there and they're going to hear a message. And the Holy Spirit's going to use it. And they're going to turn towards the Lord again. All that's going to happen. I said, brother, let me ask you a question. Brother, did you say you don't get on the internet? I don't get on the internet much. In fact, it's been a long time. I tried that once. Man, you know what? I pushed some buttons and I don't know. I think I ordered something. And I decided, nope, shut that thing off. I don't know what I'm doing. You ever, you order this, you bring this down, everything. It says, now you, do you want to discharge and all this? I'm going, no. Just shut it off, And I'm thinking... So I don't, you can get stuff that you think it's free and it's come down and then you punch this button and before long you owe a lot of money. So I think it could really be used, the Lord. But Durham, come real quick, tell them about it. You got time. We'll be done in about 5 minutes, okay? We haven't cut into your lunch yet. It's just turkey anyways. We're still all right? By faith, we're moving forward. By faith, we want to go all the way and not come short of something. Turn him on up there, Brother Doug. Go ahead, Brother Craig.
All right, let me read a verse of Scripture for, if I could. Mark 16, verse number 15. This is really where this came from. The Bible says here, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord really gave me a burden some time ago, almost 2 years ago, of the need to reach the world with the gospel. And really where this began was last year in January. Pastor Fisher went up to a meeting at Mother Mark Smith's church up in Washington. And a guy walked up to him and said, I heard you on the internet. I never met Pastor Fisher before, never heard of the church. And FBN was playing Pastor Fisher over the internet. He called me up and said, brother, he said, some fellow dialed me up over the internet and find out, chase it down. So I went and called the place, which is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I talked to the station manager there, and he said, we're getting people dialing in daily, two people from the Vatican dialing into our internet radio station every day. Well, obviously, that sparked a lot of interest now, knowing the opportunity involved in this. So Pastor Fisher and I talked about this. In February this year, I traveled to Gaylord, Michigan, where Brother Jenkins is the pastor, and we basically copied their whole entire radio station, 120 gigabytes of radio, onto a hard drive. I traveled back to Buffalo where I live, flew down here to San Diego and attempt to set that thing up, and I had no idea what we were getting ourselves into, but it was exciting. And we had scores of music and almost 3,900 songs and preaching and all kinds of different things that they had put together. We brought that thing down here. I was convinced I'd have it going that week, and the DSL connection that we were getting installed at the church so we could feed it out the internet, it was installed 2 weeks after I left. So that was the first challenge we had back in February of this year. I came back in April of this year again, made a second trip up to Gaylord to get some more more radio, more training on how to do this, and some more music. And we made a second trip up there again. There was a problem with the computer that these folks gave us, so they gave us a brand new computer shipped to here in San Diego. Second day here, I came back here in the month of May convinced it would be going again. Amen. But I came here in May, and we could not get the DSL connection functioning out to the internet. But we knew that the Lord had something going on with this whole thing, so we just kept struggling through these things. Really, I believe this could be a blessing to many people, because I used to work at a place called Ingram Micro back in Western New York area, and I would dial the radio up at work and leave it going 24 hours a day. That was many years ago, back in 97. I found a place and dialed that thing up. I listened to preaching all day long. At my capacity, I put a headset on, I talked on the phone, had internet streaming across, listening to music and preaching all day long. And I always thought, what a blessing that could be. So we headed back here in the month of July, me and Bill Dowell. Bill Dowell, and before, between May and July, Brother Fisher called me and said, call up a guy named Bill Dowell and talk to him, and maybe he can help you out with this thing. And I called Bill up. He's a computer junkie, I guess you'd call him. I called him up. We worked this out on the phone. That weekend, he went home. He had a radio station playing from his home to his office and his office back to his home that weekend. I was pretty excited because up to that point, we had not gotten that far. February, March, April, May, June, and now July, and now we have almost a working model of what we're trying to do. So we came back down here. Brother Dowell, I met him for the first time. We came down here and got everything functioning and set up here at the church. We began to feed the signal out across the internet, actually to his workplace. Maybe we shouldn't talk about that, but out to his workplace, and he in turn was feeding the signal out to the internet. That really had a big question was, if people started dialing in with some of the influence that this church has, the capacity we had was about for 25 users at one time. And I think of the request that Brother Eisenman tells me he has for people in the military trying to get access to some good preaching. And I thought, we could run our connections very quickly. So Bill and I were talking, and he said, Brother, I could serve this thing out from the office here at the church out to my workplace, and we could serve it out to the internet and support about 300 people at a time. Well, that might seem small to you, but on an internet radio station, that is absolutely mammoth. You imagine if 24 hours a day, we could have 300 people all across this globe? That's an exciting possibility. See, our missionaries on the foreign field, they could dial this thing in at 3 o'clock in the morning and hear Pastor Fisher preach. Amen? Great, great opportunity. So in the month of July, we worked that out. Me and Bill both agreed that we need to get something set up. When I left, went back home, before we moved here in September, I tasked Neil Burton to begin to create playlists of music. If you can imagine, a song is about 3 minutes long. We had to create 12 hours of songs that we were going to put together and then add preaching into that. We moved here in the month of September, and again, our vision was to get this thing working. So me and Bill continued to experiment. We tried a couple different players, and we just need to work through this thing. Of course, Jamie and Alex Rogers, they're at my disposal, whatever help with the radio, with the website and getting the radio station on the website, and we work with them as well. And what's happened at this point now, Bill and I worked this out about 3-4 weeks ago, and we send the signal from here to church over the DSL connection. If you're technical, great. If not, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But get the idea. We send the signal from here to Bill's workplace in downtown San Diego somewhere, and then Bill serves that out to the internet, and we can literally support an unlimited number of users. We're set up right now to support about 300 people at a time. And I thought, as we're building this, we're planning on going with 12 hours a day, 9 o'clock Pacific time to 9 p.m. Pacific time. And a week ago Thursday, I picked up Brother Fisher at the airport. I said, what do you think about 24 hours of programming? I said, we could play. Well, many of the associate pastors will have programs that will run 15 to 30 minutes each and every day. Between 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock, between 6 and 9 every night, we're going to have 3 hours of preaching, which will be an old-fashioned hour. It'll be somebody that's preached at the Lighthouse and Friends of the Lighthouse, and the third one will be Pastor Fisher preaching every night. What we're going to do is, I had this great idea a week and a half ago, that we would double, go to 24 hours, and repeat everything from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., and then have preaching from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the morning. And our purpose is, of course, to hit the other side of the world. See, I never imagined how much influence this could have, but in the meantime, our friends up in Gaylord, Michigan, they kind of leaned on me to help us get them on the Internet. So in the month of September, I worked with a couple of people up in Gaylord. In the meantime, I made a couple trips up there to show him how it worked. Show them how it worked. On the phone while I was here, we got their radio station on the Internet. I thought, how many people can really dial in? Practically, right? You know, we live so much by sight. I got a phone call about 3 weeks ago, and brother up there, he said, Brother Craig, he said, we had our share-a-thon at our church. When basically the radio station asked for folks to call in pledges and people that it's been a blessing to them. And he said, Brother, we had people calling in from Ohio. You can't get that on a local dial from Ohio, right? Gaylord, Michigan is about 15 miles from nowhere. So they had people calling in from all over Ohio. They had people calling in from Kentucky. People calling from Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina. People calling in from Europe that were listening to the radio station over the Internet. And he also had people emailing them from Australia that had listened to the radio station on the Internet. And I just thought, can you imagine the influence that we could have? Well, we took all that music that Brother Jenkins is kind of a backwoods kind of fellow. We took all his music and I said, Brother Jordan, you have to go through all this. And he eliminated every group but the Jordan family. Amen? You're going to hear Jordan family 24 hours a day. Seriously, he eliminated about 43 groups that didn't fit. We enjoy some of that music. Brother Wade has volunteered to take all that music that we can't play on the radio. But we are still working through that music, but I'll tell you, it's exciting, the possibilities that we have. You can hear some of the men that have already given themselves to this. Many of the associates have 15 to 30 minute programs, which they're putting material together daily to encourage hearts, and that'll play from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock and 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. so people all over the world can hear this and be encouraged. Many people are interested in what's happening down here, and they have no idea. When I left the East Coast here a few months ago, they told me I was going to Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen? That's what they told me. And they told me I was going to land of fruits and nuts and the granola state and all this stuff. I heard it all in just a few short months. But people are very curious what God is doing with the Lighthouse. And God is going to give us an opportunity to be a blessing and a help to many people. You know, in the last 3 weeks here, we begin to ramp up production. You think about that. We have to put 3 sermons a day, 5 days a week on a hard drive to play over the Internet. Well, you figure that out, but these are long. That's a lot of work. Somebody's got to listen to 3 sermons a day, encode 3 sermons a day, clean up 3 sermons a day, put them back on a CD and give them to me so I can put them in the computer to play them. You think about what's involved. Well, I just had a fellow that works at ICR, and he said to me, Brother Craig, he says, can I help out with this whole project? Brother Tim McMahon said to me, can I help out? And I said, Brother, you do this for a living. You can gladly help out. Amen. I was excited. Brother Chris Carroll said to me, I enjoy radio. Can I help out with this project? Sure, I gave him a stack of tapes. He gave me back a CD full of preaching, amen? We're going to have an old-fashioned hour, which will be fellows that most of us maybe have never heard of unless you're up in years. And we thank God He's given us hundreds of tapes that we're putting now and getting ready to put on the Internet where we can be blessed with an old-fashioned hour. Brother Doug Atherton in the back for the last 18 months, he's been taking every one of Pastor Fisher's sermons, putting them into a computer. He's been editing them and burning them back to a CD. We have 18 months. We're going to pray Brother Fisher every day, 7 days a week. We have at least a year and a half of his sermons already on tape, not including what's going forward or what some of these fellows that have volunteered to help me will be doing going backwards. I called Brother Bowling, Jared Bowling, the other day. I called Brother Tim McMahon. He said to me, he said, what's this about this Internet radio thing? And he committed himself, amen, Brother Jared, he committed himself to helping me out with this project. Brother Neil Burton, of course, he has been my right-hand man this whole thing. And he is addicted to this thing. He's so excited what God can do with this. And I just thank the Lord for what He's done for the people. You know, I just kind of look around, and God has put a team together. I mean, literally, I could see this team that God is forming for us in this radio thing. And I don't know where it's going from here, but I'm excited about what God has done. I'm excited for the future, what the Lord will do in this capacity, and I encourage you, it's very easy to dial up. Just go to LighthouseBaptistChurch.com website, click a link there, it'll begin to play for you. But hit a link there, and you can begin to listen to it, enjoy it, and I trust you'll see a part of it. And as we work through some things here, the next couple of weeks here, bear with us. This is brand new to us, but I'm excited. I encourage you to pray with me that God can use this as an opportunity to encourage sailors, to encourage missionaries, to encourage churches and families and pastors that are discouraged, that want to give up. We can encourage them with this, these things that God's given to us.
Let's all stand. Can you see it? Say, oh man, it's 12:35. Can you see it? I don't know if that's exciting to you.
Yeah.
Hey, the gospel is still the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. People still need to hear that and get saved. But the saints need to be encouraged too. Now I realize it's 12:35. We're already there. By faith. By faith. We're going to see God do something. Would you understand if I said this? Have you ever preached and heard yourself preach? Oh, it's so discouraging. It really is. Have you ever listened to one of your own sermons and you hear it and everything? You go, ooh, man, I wouldn't come to hear that. But the Holy Spirit uses His Scriptures. And He'll use this music, and the teaching, and the Word of God, and we get to have a part of that. Could I ask you maybe to pray that God would open doors? Doors that we don't even know that can be opened. And could I ask you this, one last thing? Have a good attitude. Have an attitude that walks by faith and not by sight. Because by sight you can see everything that's wrong. And everything we don't quite agree with. But by faith, you just overlook some of that stuff. And just move on and see what God can do. I'll leave you with this thought. Old preacher, he's already in heaven now, said, never undo by sight what you did by faith. And by faith a while back, we decided we're going to do this thing. And we're not going to undo by sight what we decided God would have us to do. By faith. Could I ask you to do this before you leave? Could I ask you to sacrifice 3 to 5 minutes of prayer that God would use what we're trying to do with this building, this cantata, with this internet, with the preaching, with the Word of God? Could I ask you to pray that God would use it? Because I do still believe in prayer. 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 With our heads bowed, our eyes closed. It's a church service. Some of you military personnel, some of you that's been in, prayer. Prayer. God, show us how to do it. Show us what to do. Give us a good attitude. Give those working a good attitude. Give us a good spirit. Give us wisdom. Give those men that are recording and teaching and the preaching, give those that are be singing, give them wisdom. We probably need some ladies speaking on there. We probably need something to minister to ladies that are out there on the mission field and out there in the military and out there in various places around our country. Oh, there's so more, much more we want to do. Would you pray that by faith, because there's giants, certainly, and there's things that we could do better, and there's things that we'll work on, but help us by your prayers and by your belief, not to turn back. Encourage each other to go forward. What are you planning for next year, Christian? What are you planning on being involved with? What are you planning on doing? How's your spirit? How's your attitude? Let's not limit what He can do with us, because He can do anything He wants to do. It's just a matter of whether we'll be in on it or not. I hope you come back at 6 o'clock tonight with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you came in here today and the Holy Spirit's been drawing you. And you want to get out of that rut called life that's empty. Maybe today would be the day that you would receive Christ as your personal Savior. And all this would begin to make even more sense of people committing time and money and effort, committing their lives to getting the gospel out. Why do people commit their lives to getting the gospel out, to getting the Word of God taught, and expounded upon, and preached, and propagated? Because it's the words of life. It's light to a darkened world. If you've never received Christ as Savior, maybe today is the day where Jesus Christ would be glorified in your life. We could show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you'd like, just slip out and come. We'll let the instruments play. Christians, you pray a little bit. Pray for our cantata now as we work hard. Pray for a good spirit and attitude in this place. Pray for just this internet radio. But the preaching and the gospel and the teaching and the music, that it would have an impact for our Lord Jesus Christ. But he could use it in some way, shape, or form to encourage a saint, to convict someone that still needs salvation. To comfort and encourage somebody going through some deep trials. To encourage somebody back that maybe the world has got a hold of just a little bit. And let's not come short of that which God would have for us. Lord, increase our faith. Give us a good spirit. And Lord, help us to remember that you can take care of the giant.